Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, given the life-changing consequences, not to mention the physical pain of having a baby, it's hardly surprising that most of the attention is on mums. But that may be about to change, with a study arguing that men should be supported in the same way and given as much emotional support as women in the run-up to parenthood. And in this survey and this particular report, they found that many new dads reported being physically and emotionally tested to breaking point, as well as experiencing bouts of exhaustion and postnatal depression symptoms. And often on this programme, many, many times, I've talked to mums, and rightly so, about the various different support services that are out there and that are available. But today, I want to chat to dads. And our own Shane Hannan from Off The Ball is with me on the line. Shane, like, you're a relatively new dad. Does this resonate with you?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah, my little girl is very close to 6 months now in the next few days. I mean, when I read this survey, Heather, your researcher sent it on to me this morning, I had to take a laugh, because as much emotional support as the mums, that's what these dads in this report are looking for, which is, in my opinion, a little bit laughable. There's a more cribbing and crying among the dads in this report, Andrea, than there is with the newborns at home, I think. Look, it is tough becoming a father. Of course it is. You're going to be tired. You, of course, need some emotional support. But look, we get all the positive aspects of being a parent without the drastic and strenuous and crazy, as you mentioned in the intro, physical journey that the women have to go on. So while I can understand the nature of what the dads are saying in this report, I would imagine, by the way, it's an anonymous report, because there's no way these lads were standing beside their other halves cribbing and crying, looking for exactly the same amount of emotional support. While I understand what they're saying, the fact that we would get the same emotional support level as the women who put their bodies through it is ridiculous.
Yeah. And I accept that. And I imagine there'll probably be, you know, people today who'll get in touch and maybe share a similar view. But I do wonder, do we ask dads enough how are they in the months after a newborn arrives?
You know, possibly not, but we as dads probably get our outlets from maybe other dads. I know for myself, you know, there was a couple of new dads in the office in work around the same time as I became a dad, and that was a massive help to me. My friends as well, maybe one or two of them have become fathers, and even my own immediate family as well. But obviously going to your other half and complaining about these things when she's put her body through something way, way worse, that would maybe be a bit of an issue. Like, there's one line in this report that said dads felt excluded from the mother-child relationship starting during the pregnancy, when they, quote, felt like bystanders, undermining their confidence in their ability to parent. Like, that can be completely fixed by the dads themselves. Get involved. Go to the antenatal courses. Ask the mother what she needs. Like, the mother wants the dad to be involved in all these things. They're not excluding them for any reason. So that can be fixed by the dads becoming more involved themselves. Now, afterwards, of course, there could be more maybe courses and that sort of thing for fathers only, because I did go to a lot of courses that were, you know, maybe there was a three or four fathers to be. Maybe those things could be maybe tailored towards dads.
Let me bring in Dave as well. Shane, stay with us. Dave is on the line. Dave is the CEO of Lads to Dads. Dave, you've been listening to Shane. You've heard this survey. Mm-hmm. Do we ask dads enough how they're doing in the aftermath of a newborn coming home?
I'll go back a step further, if you don't mind. I mean, it's the whole leading up to the pregnancy piece. Like, we work with dads, and perinatally we work with dads. And the reason we're in the space in the first place is because there is no services tailored to support fathers. And a lot of them talk about fear and anxiety with preparing for birth. A lot of them talk about uncertainty and not knowing how to step into their role as a parent. And a lot of them, some of the stuff that we do is peer-to-peer support, about just talking to them and supporting them and explaining what that means. And explaining, as Shane said a minute ago, well, how you can get involved with your partner when she's pregnant, how you can link in with the baby, holding hands on the tummy, reading stories, getting into the role of becoming a dad before baby even arrives. But I mean, I read this report and I agree with some of it, and there's elements I'm not so sure of, but the commonality with all dads say to us is that they would like a bit more support, they'd like a bit more engagement, they'd like a service specifically just for them, so they can ask all the questions that they mightn't get to ask, that they can learn a little bit more about what it means and how to step into your role as a dad. And a lot of them do not feel included in the process leading up to it. a lot of them would say, as baby, when baby arrives, nobody really checks in with dad. And unfortunately, sometimes checking in with dad is a friend or is a cousin or is an uncle, and someone just, you know, how are you getting on and how are you doing? But I think we need to be better than that. I think we need to offer more supports than that. And there is a line in this report about dad suffer from bear trauma or postnatal depression. And I've read a lot of research around this. And they're saying that some up to 1 in 10 dads can suffer from postnatal depression. Could be more, but a lot of dads don't come forward and talk about it. Mm. Dads can suffer from bear trauma. They can suffer from anxiety. So I think there's a lot more needs to be done. And that's kind of why we do what we do, is to try and bridge that gap. So whereas I think they need a different level of support and a different areas that they can link in and feel supported on their journey into parenthood.
Yeah.
Because they are forgotten a lot of times.
So there's nothing there at the moment, Dave, is there not?
No, not that I'm aware of, and that's why we're in the space, to be honest with you. Perinatally, there's nothing for dads, and a lot of them that link in with us will say, it took us a long time to find you, we didn't know anywhere it existed, and they just need a bit of help, guidance, and a bit of support on how to become a father. And if you're struggling, where we can signpost them into services that can best support them.
Shane, in the last 6-7 months, have you been made aware of any services, or was it ever mentioned to you when you were leaving the maternity hospital?
No, nothing specifically for dads. Of course, we've had, you know, visits from public health nurses and that sort of thing, but nothing tailored completely to the father. Like, the one thing I would say, and just to pick up on Dave saying as well, like, and this is just my experience, Andrea, but when our little girl, for example, was being born in the hospital, I won't name the hospital, but the dad is almost treated like a visitor. Like, depending on the child, the time of the day the child was born, our little girl was born at 6:30 in the evening, and I was being asked to leave then at 11 p.m. for the night. Baby wasn't even five hours old yet. Now, bear in mind, we were lucky enough that night, because there weren't many babies being born that night, that the room was empty. The ward was empty. There weren't any other mothers or expectant mothers in the room whatsoever. Now, if my partner had wanted me to leave at that point, you know, if she was exhausted, of course I would have left. My partner wasn't ready for me to leave. And that was a very stressful time for her as well. Ultimately, I ended up, it was actually flaunting the rules, but I stayed for most of the night. And I bear in mind, we were very lucky that night to be in a ward by ourselves. Mm. But and then it included the next day as well. We were told, and this is, by the way, post-COVID times, but we were told visitors were limited to 2 per baby. So my mum and dad, first-time grandparents, were coming up. But then we were told just before they came in, I was included in that number, 2 number.
You were in the visitor, were you, as well?
I was also included as a visitor. So wouldn't technically, in an empty room, have been allowed to meet my parents as first-time grandparents with the baby. Again, look, I flaunted the rules and I did stay. They were probably just following their own rules. I understand that. But yeah, there are moments where dads are left to feel like a visitor, possibly.
Steve Cummins is on the line. Steve, because you published a book about becoming a dad a couple of years back. With hindsight, looking back now, do we have enough supports? Should there be better services?
Well, yes, 100% there should. I mean, I think we can all acknowledge that every man realizes that however much fear and, say, anxiety they have before about what sort of parent am I going to be, and with all the changes in their lives, it's nothing compared to what the woman has to go through. The woman has to go through all those exact same fears and stresses, but also huge changes to their body, huge changes to their lifestyle from the moment they find out they're pregnant. So that is really hard. However, we shouldn't ignore self-care for men, because I get Shane's feeling. Like, I remember I joked about it in the book, which, by the way, it was over a dozen years ago. It sold only about 200 copies, but I liked it. It was a good book. Right?
Yeah.
But I said in the book, I remember I said there was that you're basically standing around, say, during childbirth and delivery, and you feel next to useless, because you are. All you can be there is for your partner. And if you go 100%, like, go all in, do whatever you can to make this incredibly hard time for them easier, but don't forget to look after yourself. And by that is, like, talk to people about, like Shane said, he's a few people in the office who also had newborns, which was actually, I would imagine, would be great, having that sort of support. Sometimes you can ask the wrong person. Sometimes men will, other parents, like your lad mates who've had kids before, you'll go, oh, your life's ruined, your life's over. That's really, you know, kind of damaging. It's hard. Find someone supportive you can talk to. I think what Dave is doing, just it's my first time learning of it as well, what Dave's doing with Lads Into Dads, I think that's incredible. Mm. And it's so needed. So it's like, and men, we know what we're all like. We're very slow to say we need help. And there are probably men who are properly struggling with this. So if we can kind of normalize going, look, it's okay. Yes, we know you have to be there. And the 100% is the baby and the mom in this. But just because you're a dad doesn't mean that you can look after yourself as well. And other people should be helping to look after you too.
Aideen is on the line as well, Steve. Aideen, you've been listening to Shane and Dave and Steve today. Why did you get in touch?
Hi.
How are you?
So I have two kids, and during pregnancy and afterwards, I was very sick. I suffered with hyperemesis, and it was a horrible, horrible time for me. But my husband had to look after me, and he found it very hard. Now, he's not one to talk about his feelings, as most men aren't, but I definitely think that there could have been some support for him afterwards. I was suffering with postnatal depression. I was going in to see a therapist, but he had to help me, but he also had to help himself. It's a lot of responsibility when one parent has to pick up the slack from, because the other parent is in like I was incapacitated.
Yeah.
And then no one has asked him, like, in between my two children, I actually had a miscarriage, and nobody really said, like, how are you? My aunt would have been very good. And a couple of people said to him, like, oh, how are you getting on? But he was actually very upset about it as well.
Yeah.
As much as I was sick, now very sick, and my body was in bits, and then afterwards with the postnatal, I was okay, but he had to look after me, and there was nobody to talk to. I actually think it's very hard on men. I know, lads, and we don't talk about our feelings, and it's grand, we'll have a pint, but actually at the end of the day, they're the ones, we're out on maternity leave, we're looking after the baby, they're worrying about still going to work, paying the mortgage, doing all this. Like, it is very stressful, and I think we are very quick to kind of write off men after having a baby, because your whole life changes.
Yeah.
And it's stressful for mom because her body has gone through, like, I was like the worst thing ever. It was awful. But everyone was asking me how I was. My husband was checking in with me. Even my daughter, who was older when my second baby was born, like, she was asking me, how's mom? No one's asking the man how they are.
How is he? You know, and I've heard that, and I'm sorry to hear, you know, like, about your experience. And but I've heard people say that. And even someone I know, you know, a couple of years ago who'd gone through something similar and had a miscarriage. And she later went on to tell me that, like, nobody at any point, you know, people text her and check in with her, and nobody ever picks up the phone to ask how's he doing, you know, or how's he dealing with it.
Yeah, we nearly rely on the man to look after us as women. We're like, right, we're really sick and our body is going through this. Their body isn't going through it, but their mind is. And they're worried sick about you because you're so sick. And it would be the same if your husband, I suppose, if you had cancer or you had an illness, they'd be looking after you as well. People would check in with you then, nearly. I think when it comes to mental health, if a man had a broken arm or a broken leg, we talk about it so much quicker. But when it comes to mental health, men, God love them, they're nearly wrote off.
And particularly around maternity and babies, yeah, and the aftermath of. And I think, to be fair, probably to a lot of lads as well, you know, most of the guys I know would be nearly reluctant to talk about it because, you know, they nearly don't want to be seen to be complaining given everything that their partner or that has gone through. Jamie is on the line, Aideen, as well. What's your experience, Jamie, of this?
Yeah, something similar to your last caller there. Like, my wife was in hospital for 5 days after our second daughter, and I was at home with the kids, but I only got 10 days off work. So I really only had 5 days with them as a family at home. Like, so that was tough, you know. I even felt like, you know, even the mother and toddlers groups that I used to go to, I'd probably be the only man in the group, you know. Like, that was good 6-7 years ago. Obviously, it's probably changed slightly now, but
it doesn't like sound that. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it has changed that much, though.
You yeah, know, I joined Dave's group, actually. Dave's a good friend of mine.
Right.
Back in COVID, and I felt like I got a lot of help. It's actually my wife that put me forward. She found a group on social media, but other than that, I haven't really found a lot of support around, you know.
Why do you think, Brendan, like, why in today's era, right, where we talk an awful lot more about support services that were there and we're encouraging people to talk and obviously a lot more focus on men's mental health. Psychiatrist Brendan Kelly is with me on the line. Why are we still slower to chat about men's mental health when it comes to maternity services?
Well, I think there is a growing recognition that it is a difficult time for men, not as difficult as it is for women. But there is, you know, it is different and there are different stresses that are brought to bear on men. So, for example, the depression response in men tends to be a bit later at 3 to 6 months after the birth, you know, because men tend to be a little bit better at doing tasks and maybe struggle with the overall emotional adjustment. But the biggest deficit, I think, is preparing for the change in the relationship that comes with a child. Now, there is some guidance available. The HSE website has a section on parents' health and mental well-being, looking after your relationship as a parent, parenting with your partner, and things about going back to work after maternity or paternity leave. But we are slower to recognise that it is, that the challenges that men face during this period.
And is that then why we're often slow to talk about it and to hear people's experiences? I suppose to encourage men to speak out about it.
Yes, we are, because, you know, in the piece of research we're discussing here, one of the quotes from it is that when you're the dad, people, and I'm quoting, have a mindset of treating you like you're a bit of a tool or you're a bit kind of useless or, standing around. And maybe we need to value the role that men play, although it's obviously not as great as that that women play in this whole scenario. But also, you know, we need to recognize there are different kinds of couples, different kinds of parents, same-sex couples, and so on. And the roles maybe are more variable than we might have imagined. So initiatives like From Lads to Dads is obviously very, very good. And also allowing men to express feelings in different ways. Men, we express our feelings all the time, but we don't always do it using words.
What did you get, Jamie, from the likes of the support group? In terms of the
just
benefits.
Different structures and different courses and stuff they're doing, like, you know. I think definitely, like, more of a support system, just because the dynamics of the household is changing now, you know, just as far as childcare and the men being at home more, being more hands-on. I think we need them kind of skill sets going forward.
And Dave, for people maybe listening today, you know, I'm thinking of Shane is still with us and other maybe, you know, very recently new dads or soon to be dads as well. Like, if they do want to get in touch or they want to reach out to any of the courses or the programs that you're running, where can they do that?
Yes, we've an Instagram page and it's From Lads to Dads and it's at From Lads to Dads. We're on Instagram, we have a website, we're on Facebook, all the usual social media channels. But I mean, just the final bit for me, I'd like to say is that, like, the role of dad has changed massively in the last, you know, particularly last 30 years, and dads are much more hands-on and much more engaged. And when I work with dads and listen to them, the outpour of emotion from them is huge. And it's as if it's the first time they've ever been allowed to talk and share these things. But they really want to know more. They really want to engage, but they just need a bit of help and support with that. And that's all we're trying to create, you know. So the report is very important in what it says, and it's about highlighting what dads really need. It's a bit more support and guidance, especially in the mental health sector, you know.
Dave with us there from CEO of Lads to Dads. As he says, you can get in touch with them on their social media or through Instagram as well. Our own Shane Hannan from Off the Ball, Steve Cummins, Jamie Adeen, and psychiatrist Brendan Kelly. Thanks a million for joining us on the show. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.